Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Hey, homeschoolers. This week, I'll chat with a special guest about leaving homeschool legalism. You may think that doesn't apply to you. I know at one time, I didn't think it applied to me either. But just last week, I learned that I had left an unedited portion of the podcast in the audio. I didn't do well with knowing I'd made that mistake. It's been corrected now, and it wasn't much of a scandal. Sorry to disappoint. But the way we react to making mistakes or to our kids' mistakes is a good barometer for legalism. More in a moment. First, I want to thank the sponsor for this episode, Change in the Air. Change in the Air is a new film releasing October 19th that you don't want to miss. A peaceful community is forever changed when a mysterious young woman moves in. As the quirky locals embrace her, their lives soon improve. But they can't help but notice that their strange new neighbor has a secret. Change in the Air will release in select theaters and digitally on October 19th. Go to changeintheairmovie.net to see if the film is playing near you, or purchase or rent it the day it comes out. Change in the Air, in theaters and digitally, on October 19th. Now for this week's topic. My guest today is someone you know, Kendra Fletcher, the former co-host of Homeschooling in Real Life, right here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, is the author of the book, Leaving Legalism. I know you'll be inspired by what she shares. Kendra, I'm so glad to have you back on the podcast again. It has been a while. So I want to hear what has been going on with you and your family since we chatted last.
Oh, Melanie, thank you for having me here. I love talking with you all the time. So, and maybe your listeners don't know, but we do actually talk quite a bit in real life together, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we have this massive family. We have eight kids and two spouses now. And at any given moment, what's going on is something new. So we are just kind of in the thick of it. We've got four kids still at home. A high school senior, a sophomore, a sixth grader, and then our littlest guy is a fourth grader. So that's what's going on, and just all the other stuff that comes with it. You know, I don't know if you feel this way, but you get these adult kids and you think, my job is done, but it is not done. So that's where we are.
Yeah, it is so true. Well, that is great. Well, today we are talking about a serious topic, and that is legalism. And I was hoping that we could kind of refine that topic to homeschooling. So how can we leave legalism in our homeschooling? And as I was thinking about legalism, I was realizing that we tend to think about legalism as something that other people are guilty of, but not us. And so maybe what we could do is start by talking about what legalism really is.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. It's very easy to say, that's not me. Because I think any of us who really holds to the gospel and an orthodox view of scripture, you know, and by that I mean just a very scripture-based view of scripture, would say, oh, I'm not a legalist. I believe in faith alone through Christ alone. And, so I don't add anything to that. But the reality is we are all really good legalists. Mm-hmm. Anytime we're adding anything to that, anytime we're saying, oh, but yes, I believe the gospel and I know that story. I know that. And that's, you know, I believe it. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. Okay. Now this is what I must do. Or anytime we are shifting our hope to something else. And by that, I just mean, we do that every day, every single day we say, oh, if only this, or if this would happen, or if we do this thing, or if we go to hear this speaker, or if we implement this thing in our marriage, like all these things we shift our hopes to. And then suddenly we find ourselves with a misplaced hope, and it's off the gospel. And we just do that so much easier than I think we are willing to admit, or maybe even recognize. So I think legalism in that sense is anytime we're adding anything to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that he took my sin, he died with it, he rose again without it, and I am covered by his sacrifice. And that, you know, I'm made right with God because of what Jesus did. So anytime we're adding anything to that, or we're putting our hope in something other than that, we're involved in legalism in one way or another.
So, Kendra, I know from having read your book, Leaving Legalism, that you felt that you had fallen into the trap of legalism in your life and in your homeschooling. And so I am curious to know, what helped you to realize that you were in legalism and kind of living by that?
Yeah, you know, again, legalism can be such a little insidious thing in our lives that we don't even recognize. It's an undercurrent sometimes that just sort of runs through the way we live our lives. And that's really where we were. We had these kids, we had this very wily firstborn, and homeschooling was going to be the answer. I mean, initially, it wasn't. It was just an option. And so we chose it very specifically for him. There were so many things we've loved about homeschooling. I mean, I'm in year 21 this year, homeschooling kids. And there are so many things we love about choosing that option. But when we began to shift our hope to our homeschooling for our kids, for our parenting, for what we thought we were going to turn out in these kids, or where we even thought, oh, well, they won't struggle with this thing in their lives, or they won't have this issue because we're homeschooling them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing this because this is the best way and this is the right way. And suddenly we find ourselves so wrapped up really in our bondage of our own making. And that's one of the things I point out a lot in the book, but also just in, you know, when I'm writing or speaking, is that so often when we take our hope off of God and we put it into something, which is usually a really good gift he's given us or a tool he's provided, that thing, it just eventually becomes our bondage. And so that's where we found ourselves probably, I would say, about 10, 12 years into our homeschool journey. And we had some life-altering experiences that we just almost lost three kids within 18 months to some very, very tragic and trying circumstances. And so I never like to say that, oh, God did these things to us, but he certainly used some harrowing experiences in our lives to remind us. I can remember being in a hospital room after I had run over our 5-year-old with our 12-passenger van, and I just was so struck with fear that night as I lay next to her in that hospital room, and God so gently whispered in my ear, you know, your hope is not in me anymore. Your hope is in all the choices you're making and the things you're doing and how you're doing them. And remember me, remember Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's really a part of the story and the journey that God took us on. But you know, Melanie, every day I'm a hope shifter every single day. I have to remind myself again and again, hey, this homeschooling thing's great, but it's not a panacea. Really, the gospel is the only thing that's going to save my kids.
So true. So, you know, do you think that you knew this truth that your hope was only in Jesus at a certain point, and that you were surprised that you had fallen for legalism? And I guess my second question that goes along with that, if that is true, if you were surprised, why do you think we so easily fall for this? We get into that trap of hope shifting, as you're calling it.
Yeah. I think we see this biblically. I know we do. We see it all the way back as early as the Israelites leaving for Egypt. You know, God provided this, again, he provided this gift to them and said, hey, Joseph, bring your family here. I will provide through what I've done in your life here. And so the Israelites make their way to Egypt, to what God provides for them. They have storehouses of grain during that period. I mean, we know that from scripture, like that is what Joseph had helped to do in that time of famine. And they were provided with food and they were provided with sustenance. And then we see them still there 400 years later. And it just begs the question, like, why? Why were they still there? Why were they in Egypt 400 years later? What had changed in them? And what we see is that they at some point are looking to Egypt to be their hope. Obviously, at the point of Exodus, they turn to God, you know, and say, please rescue us, please rescue us. Because those storehouses that God had provided to them 400 years earlier, they literally had become their bondage. That is what they're doing. 400 years later, they're building more storehouses for the Egyptians. And so what had initially become a tool and a gift in their lives suddenly is what keeps them away from the freedom that God was offering to them through himself. And so he rescues them out of that situation, as he so graciously does to us so many times. And then what do? Immediately, they shift their hope again. And they say, okay, great, God, you got us out of this, but we want an idol. You know, we want something we can worship. Oh, we want the stuff we had in Egypt. It was better. And suddenly it's back to saying, oh, those things you provided for us, they're so great. We're going to just put our hope back in there. I mean, we just see this over and over again in scripture. And I think our hearts as sinners are so tuned to wanting to have a part in our salvation. We want to do more and try harder. And that's what Jesus freed us from. So I think that's really the crux of it all. We're just really good legalists, you know, even though we don't think we are, but we really, really are. And that is that encouragement to say every single day, my hope's in Jesus. I need to start my day reminding myself and my kids and my husband, my hope is in Jesus. And I will do these things that God has called me to do, but they are not my hope. He is my hope.
So for me, and I don't think we've really talked about this personally, you and I, but for me, I realized that I had put my faith and my hope in homeschooling and doing it right, and not just doing it right, but doing it better than other people.
Yeah.
When my oldest strong-willed child just brought everything that I was depending on, which was primarily my reputation, honestly, he just brought that down in a hurry. And I was just so humiliated in every way. And it was interesting because once I lost what I was hoping in, that is when I realized, wow, this isn't what I was supposed to be, you know, putting my hope in, as you say. And so then I think the tendency is, as you describe it in Leaving Legalism, is for the pendulum to swing in the other direction.
Right.
And to then think, well, you know, because I had these very, very strict rules about dating relationships in in our family. And of course, my oldest son took that as a personal challenge. And so then my temptation was to think, well, I won't have any standards then. You know, I'll just let my kids do whatever they want to do. And so did you struggle like that when you realized, okay, I've been a legalist, and so now I need to stop? You know, were you tempted like I was to kind of go to the other extreme and just say, you know, hang loose?
Yeah, I know. Well, and it's funny you say that, because I think that's so common. I mean, and that's one of the reasons I wrote about it in the book, because a lot of us find ourselves in a legalistic situation, whether that's a church or a community, or, you know, hey, a homeschool co-op can be that way, you know, very rules-based, very sometimes unwritten rules, you know, of like, you get the stink eye because you wore something that wasn't approved, or, you know, whatever. We all know those. We all know those situations in the homeschool community. And gosh, if you don't, that's fabulous. I'm really thankful if somebody is in a homeschool community that doesn't have that element to it. But, you know, that's the tendency then is to say, for example, someone grows up in a home where there are no rules. And so they're burned by the world. You know, they're out there doing things by the world standards. Maybe it's promiscuity. Maybe it's, you know, falling into a drug addiction or alcohol or, you know, whatever it is. And so then somehow they find the gospel, or they're sort of brought back to, you know, a cautiousness because there's been destruction in their life. And so then the tendency is to swing all the way in the other direction and say, well, you know what? My kids are not going to date. We are doing a total courtship model. They're going to be 32 when they start, you know, courting anyone. We're going to do, you know, all these things. And it is this pendulum swing reaction to that. And so that's where a lot of us get to legalism, or we get to homeschooling sometimes. You know, some of us choose it because public school was so destructive. And so this is going to be the answer. And we shift our hope to homeschooling. And so then oftentimes, you know, there's so many of us, and I know you're seeing it, I'm seeing it with this next generation of kids who are now young adults who are homeschooled, who are saying, whoa, that was way too rigid and legalistic, and they're burned by it, and they want nothing to do with it. So they're swinging the pendulum all the way back again. And we just tend to do this. We go, you know, one way, we swing the next way. And so my encouragement there is to say, where's that equilibrium? You know, when we look at an actual pendulum, that beautiful, perfect, balanced middle, what is that? Mm-hmm. Well, that's Jesus. That's the God. And so on either side of that, we can say, gosh, I'm swinging my hope to the world and all of the freedoms, quote unquote, freedoms it's offering me. Or, gosh, I'm swinging all of my hope over here to religious behavior, and it's going to save me. And really, either direction is hope shifting to things that won't save us. The only thing is that balanced position in the middle where Christ stands. And in that balanced position is really is where we find our freedom. You know, so I think your question about, like, did we swing the pendulum as we came out of that real rigid environment? We somehow, by God's grace, really only by God's grace, we were hypersensitive to that and said, we don't want to swing all the way the other direction. Mm-hmm. And God really dropped us into a church community that allowed us the space to heal and walked cautiously with us, or allowed us to walk cautiously through those decisions. I tell you, I see it all the time, and you probably do too, that, you know, these wide pendulum swings from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. It's common. It's just how we roll as humans, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, And thinking about that, I had to tell you something that I thought you might get a chuckle out of. I was thinking about legalism. I have been thinking about it in reading your book and in anticipating this interview too. And I had the opportunity to, let's see, how should I put this? I had the opportunity to read what I thought were very legalistic rules coming out of a particular homeschooling group. I remember being so surprised because one of the things that I tend to do, and I think other people do too, is I tend to assume that everyone has been on the same journey that I've been on. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. Like, I think we all do that.
And I just thought, really? You know, you're going that legalistic? Mm-hmm. How could you do that? Yeah. And what was so interesting to me is that immediately in that moment, I found myself wanting to be legalistic about their legalism.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to get other people to, you know, like decry it and
yep.
refuse to go along with it, you know, all those kinds of things. And I've had that similar type of experience when I encounter people who are going through the same, you know, learning experiences and exposure to different types of teachings that I went through, but I somehow expect them to just skip right over those lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and some of that is like, I just want to reach out to those sweet people and say, mm-hmm. oh, I could save you so much heartache. Mm-hmm. You know, let's have a conversation. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. It's just going to burn you,
right.
You know, tank your faith in the process. But, you know, part, you're right. I mean, we have, grace goes both ways. It mm-hmm. really does. And yep. so what I didn't get from that legalistic community in terms of beautiful grace, I want to pour back upon them. But it took me some time. Mm-hmm. It took me time to get there. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, you and I have had that come to Jesus moment, literally, right?
Yep.
With our legalism. But we may be having someone listen to us right now who recognizes that they are caught up in legalism in their homeschooling, in their church, in their lives, whatever it may be. And so what can you recommend to help them rest with Jesus in the center of the pendulum that we were describing?
Yeah. You know, this is going to sound so simple, but really this is the crux of the gospel. And that is learning to understand or understanding or pursuing the knowledge that you are so perfectly loved by God. And I know we say that like, I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. in Christendom and, you know, in evangelicalism. And I have a little darling little plaque that was, it looks like the 1970s that my mom had hand painted for me that says, Jesus loves Kendra. You know what I mean? Like, you know, God loves you with a smiley face, bumper stickers, you know, that all of that. And I just really didn't internalize that or remember it. It became sort of trite and God loves you. But this is what I think so many of us struggle to believe. I mean, really, just that simple knowledge that God loves me, God loves you with nothing attached to it, absolutely nothing. And it's just very hard for us because, again, as humans, we don't do this to one another. We, you know, we can't not accept favor or grace very graciously, most of us. And so I am a real believer that if we can get to a place in our own lives where we understand how much God loves us, we can live in the overflow of that love and turn and love others so much better out of that place, because we're suddenly in a place where we don't feel threatened anymore. We don't feel like we have to prove ourselves to anyone. We can say, all right, that person doesn't love me. They don't like me. They, you know, they were unkind to me. But you know what? My identity is in Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. And my worth and my value and my significance, they're in what Jesus has done. And I mean, honestly, I have said those very words to myself. My husband says them to me. We have a family culture now of speaking that way to one another and reminding each other. I was just telling you before we started this interview that my little high school senior came home after rear-ending somebody on the freeway today and just in tears, you know, first time she'd done something like that. And to be able to say, honey, it's okay. You know, like we all do these things and you are so loved by God. Like it's fine. You're okay. And so we just kind of have this culture in our family now of reminding each other of the gospel, because that's really it. Jesus loves you. He paid it all. You are covered. He is everything. And then you can come out of that centered, you know, that little equilibrium space of where Christ reigns and loves you, and then turn and love others out of that place.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Very, very good. And I also love that you didn't give us the you know, six steps to take.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny you say that, because I feel like when I write oftentimes about the gospel and I write about grace and I write about Jesus and I write, these are my books, you know, mm-hmm. they're not bestsellers, because nobody goes in and says, just tell me more about what Jesus did for me. We mm-hmm. all want to say, we all say, oh yeah, I know what Jesus did for me. Now give me the list. What do I do? Mm-hmm. You know? But that's really not what God has called us to. God has called us to remember that the things we are told to do, or the way we're told to live scripturally, is, you know, therefore in view of God's mercy. And so then we're compelled to want to love him better and to love people better. But he doesn't love us more because we have this list of things that we can check off, you know. Mm-hmm. The love precedes that.
Right. Absolutely. That is so good. Okay, so tell us what we can find in Leaving Legalism, since we know it's not going to be the six steps to leaving. What can we find in that book that is just so valuable? And then where can people find the book?
Yeah, well, my whole goal and desire really throughout the book was to address things that I think are common to those of us who've come out of legalistic churches, or I even have people who've been writing me just some beautiful, tender stories of coming out of cult-like environments, or even just bona fide cults. So, you know, it's anything where somebody in that church leadership or that community stepped in the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so a lot of us have very similar experiences. They play out differently, you know, they sort of look different, or the details are different, the locations are different, the people, the personalities are different, but a lot of the issues are the same. And so I just address some of those issues step by step. And then at the end of every chapter, I've put together some questions that I really hope allow people to come to grips with some of the things that have been plaguing them. You know, it's hard to rip off the Band-Aid. You know, it's really hard to bring stuff to light and deal with it. And some of it is our own junk. You know, I mean, we could very easily, I, Kendra, could very easily blame other people for our decade entrenched in those kind of churches and communities. But really, it was my own sin that got me there. And so it, you know, that's hard. It's hard to, I always say, run into the burning building, you know, and deal with some of those difficult things in our lives. But that's really what's there. And then at the end, I don't leave you, you know, with an open flesh wound. Really the balm, the beauty and healing is in Jesus. So that's the reminder.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And so where can we get the book?
Yes, well, the book is available on Amazon. It's in paperback and a Kindle version. And I am really hoping to get it up in an audio version sooner than later. But right now, you can get the ebook version or the paperback on Amazon.
All right, fantastic. And I think this is such a personal, sensitive issue. In fact, mm-hmm. when we are done with this interview, I have a question I want to ask you. So if I feel that right. way,
yeah,
I know our listeners are feeling the same way. And so where can people connect with you to ask their burning questions?
Yeah. And, you know, really, I would just tell your listeners, please do that. If you're needing a place to tell your story, some of us can't tell our stories publicly because our families are still in those communities or environments. And there's, you know, there's a lot of that. So I am on Facebook at Author Kendra Fletcher. That's just what the name of the page is. And then there is a Facebook group. It's a closed group. So your stories, your whatever your participation in there is private. And that's called the Leaving Legalism.
Okay, wonderful. That is two fantastic places that people can reach out and connect with you. And, you know, there is another way to get your fix of Kendra Fletcher goodness, and that is by listening to the archives of the Homeschooling in Real Life show.
That's right.
I'm still hoping that you might come back and do an encore.
I'll tell you a secret.
Oh,
I'll tell
really?
You a secret. Yes. So for the anniversary here of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, Fletch and I are going to do a special episode. So stay tuned.
Yay! That is great news. Well, Kendra, yeah. thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk with us. This has just been so edifying. So thank you.
Oh, Melanie, thanks for having me. Always fun.
After the interview, I asked Kendra about how to respond to others' legalism. She said to ask yourself what the gracious response is. I loved that. Thanks again to Change in the Air for their sponsorship. To find the links to it, Kendra's book, and my own story of homeschool legalism, visit the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/legalism. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.